Mark Kleinschmidt, and you're listening to The Deep End on 97.9 FM WCHL, also 1360 AM WCHL. We're coming to you today from, as usual, the WCHL headquarters here at University Place in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. It's been an exciting year, and at least that's one way to describe it. I think a lot of folks are still kind of scratching their heads about what the heck went on in 2016. And as we're winding up the year, I also note that it's been about a year since I've become Citizen Mark. That has added an extra dimension to my year. It's something that I've had to get used to, largely because it's been about 15 years since I was just Citizen Mark. And I'm really excited about having this opportunity to host this show every week because I get to now reach into the community, find some folks who have interesting stories to tell, and share them with you. And today, I'm really excited to have here in the studio with me an old friend, an old colleague, Donna Bell. She served as a council member now for almost a decade. I guess she's at 7 or 8 years at this point, but well into her second and a half term, having first been appointed and then elected and then reelected to her council seat. Donna, thank you so much for being here with me today.
It's good to be here.
Well, you heard me mention, like, it's been a year now since I've been away from the council. You got reelected, and you got a whole new set of faces that you have to look at and people you have to work with on the council. There's been with all that change. So tell me, how has this year been, having been the only incumbent to win their seat back last year?
Well, the year hasn't been bad. I think you could call it growing pains. It's like anything that is as new and as changed as our council composition. We're still working out kinks, but those kinks are merely how we work together, not our philosophies, not how we think about the policy necessarily. I think this past election cycle was different from anyone that I had been associated with. Knowing that I'd been associated with ones before me working on your campaigns. So I think there was a different dynamic that we had to go into session with. But I have found that there are very few places that we as a council haven't been able to find shared ground and be able to make strong decisions. I think it's really interesting that before there was a measure or a sense that because the previous council had made unanimous votes that we were of one mind and we didn't think about things.
Well, quite often either it was 9-0 or 8-1 or
right.
Something like that. It was very close to
unanimity right.
Almost all the time.
And it's exactly the same with a new council. And I don't think anyone could say, you know, unless there is some sort of, you know, you brought into some sort of cult upon being elected and sworn in, that we are of different minds, but we're still able to come up with shared decisions that entire council can cover.
You know, I think that really speaks well of our community. I think one of the things that I remember talking about in campaign season after campaign season is that there's generally so much that the people of Chapel Hill and all the elected leaders of their past, have in common. I mean, as far as their shared vision for our community. And I think that's one of the things that's really made this community so desirable, such an exciting place to live, a place that neither one of us wants to get up and move from anytime soon.
Right.
And so it doesn't surprise me that you really haven't had a real fractured council. And it's been really interesting. I've noticed that you all have been very efficient. I mean, for example, you're getting in and out of those meetings pretty quickly, getting a lot of work done, but you haven't, I guess, that marginal area in which there may be some disagreements, you haven't really been tested on yet, have
No.
you?
No. So I think that what I've also said is that we really haven't been thrown any hard balls yet. We have done some work with retooling Ephesus Fordham, which was always part of our process and is actually really exciting to see what's on the ground. And to really think about, okay, so we've done it this way. Where are the places that we really need to think about doing it in a different way? Ben Hitchings, who is our new development director, is amazing getting us through this process. We are talking about an amazing developments like the Sankar building, which I think will be a great.
That's the Turkish
Community Center. Yeah.
That our local Nobel Prize winner is setting up with his Nobel Prize money, right?
And this is a case where we had a developer who came and recognized the values of the town of Chapel Hill in ways that really made them work to create something that met their needs, but also met the needs of the neighbors in the entire town. I think that these are the things we're working on right now. We did just announce that we are purchasing the American Legion property, which right. was an issue that the council that you were on had to deal with.
Right. Back a little over a year ago, we were first asked about that, and we just didn't have a source of funds. And the costs seemed to be, at the time, a lot higher. How did you guys resolve that issue so quickly? And it looked like you weren't quite unanimous, though, were you?
Nope. We were not unanimous. And it's very interesting because I was the one on council who actually spoke about concerns I had about coming up with this money so quickly and spending this amount of money on a piece of property that could be parkland mm-hmm. In a time where we might have some much higher priorities, but also respected the fact that I had seven other folks who thought that this was a good idea. And, you know, I spoke my concerns, but the person who actually voted against it was Nancy Oates. Oh. And that, again, shows you how the dynamics always change. Nancy was not against the property or the purchasing of the property.
Right. She has always had some good things to say about it and been very supportive of that idea.
She was merely had some concerns about the actual vote that was taken, the wording of it mm-hmm. that was done. So, again, this idea of how things look. That even though I had some strong concerns, I felt comfortable voting for the project, that sometimes folks find that the wording of these things are things they're not comfortable with, and so they can vote against it for those sort of.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks don't realize that there are all kinds of reasons sometimes for people to vote for or against something. Sometimes it's not always the actual merits of the product, maybe something around it or how you got from here to there that can cause some concern for some folks. But when we come back after the break, I want to talk a little bit about what you see in the future for Chapel Hill. We've seen changes at the state level, the federal level, that have now accompanied this great change we've had here locally over the last year. So let's get into that right after these messages. Welcome back. This is Mark Kleinschmidt, and you're listening to The Deep End on 97.9 WCHL, also heard on 1360 AM WCHL. So today I'm here in the studio with my friend Donna Bell, and we just talked a little bit about some of the growing pains that may not have hurt too much over the last year for the new council that she's serving on. But there's been a lot of changes, Donna, that have occurred in Raleigh and in Washington that kind of have followed on the heels of the great change that we had here locally a year ago. A lot of folks I know are concerned about how Raleigh and Washington now are going to interface with our local community values. I know before off air, I asked you if you were optimistic, perhaps, that a future Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson, Secretary Carson, might he be somebody who would, let's say, reverse the trend and decrease community development block grants? And we both had a little chuckle about that. But I think it's just kind of reflective of some of the challenges we may have in our future. You know, what do you think our biggest challenges are going to be now coming up in the next year?
Well, I think it's interesting that you use the word reverse, because I think that is important, because it's not like we were in a great state before this happened.
That's right.
We had concerns about how to fund affordable housing, the funding that was available for our housing choice vouchers, access people were having to both mental health, but also doctors. We are still having concerns about streets, infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. New buses, I'm sure, is still a high priority.
Transportation. You know, we had a Secretary of Transportation who was very, very supportive of, you know, increasing infrastructure in the United States. And still, it was really difficult. Those dollars were still limited, and even in those spaces. So part of it is recognizing that it wasn't that we were any sort of glory days. We weren't sitting in the sunshine before this came. And so there is a way to think about the fact there are ways in which we are prepared for the fight. We've been fighting for the last 8 years. We've been fighting to make sure that we're able to maintain our values, create a life for our citizens, even with the restraints that have come from Raleigh and from D.C. I think I challenged the town, my council members, the mayor, and the manager to go and take a racial equity course before the end of the year. And everyone was able to do it. Maria Palmer wasn't able to do it before the end of the year because she had a family incident come up, but she's committed to doing it in January. And one of the things that came out of that discussion is that equity is about helping people build wealth. So it's not about continuing to create services that help. We get this idea that we're holding hands and helping people.
Right.
That what we need to do is actually create spaces for people to grow wealth. So when I think about our transportation system and how it might make other places in the region and thus other jobs in the region available, that's what feels like we can look to as far as racial equity. I think that as we look to, and I people have different opinions about this, but I make my decision from the idea that if we have a greater stock of housing, that we can, if not pull back the cost of living in housing in Chapel Hill, that we can balance it more so that it remains accessible, at least for the folks who are here now, and maybe create more affordability. We are still in a point where we still don't know how much affordable housing we need. We know we need a lot. We need thousands of units. I think we're like at 1,500. I can't. Dwight Bassett could tell you how much square footage that would be, but I'm assuming it's a lot. But those are the sorts of things: providing people stable housing, that they might even be able to build wealth from, keeping people in housing that not only keeps them safe, but feeds their sense of self-respect, which they can pass on to their children. Our school system is also working with the idea of social equity. And so our ability to sort of work with that ideal across different entities. And so basically what I'm saying is that local rules, that the places that we feel things and that we have the most ability to make changes is locally. And so I feel like we've been working really hard to make sure that we adjust to the information and the rules and the limitations that come from us from above and continue to be the sort of town we want to be.
Right. Well, I understand that. I see that happening. And you talked about some things that are controversial, I think. Does more housing actually help us reach that level? Does a Wegmans help us reach the goals that you're outlining? I'm not sure. I mean, I see the benefits, of course, of a high-end grocery store if it's going to produce some jobs, if it's going to produce some sales tax and property tax revenue that may not otherwise come. But it's not a place where I think a lot of the folks that you're concerned about are actually going to be shopping, I would imagine.
So one of the things that I always have to think about, and I always tell people, is that I serve all of Chapel Hill. So, and it doesn't mean that every single thing that I do serves every single person equally in Chapel Hill.
That's a great point. I think that's a point that I think is lost on a lot of people. They want to see how am I getting from everything you do? Where's mine?
Right. So when I'm discussing development in Obi Creek, I am not only concerned about Obi Creek, but there are ways in which I am also concerned about how Obi Creek impacts all of Chapel Hill, about how it impacts the transit that we can afford, where it creates affordable housing, where it creates jobs. So it's a larger conversation than how does it impact this one space, this one set of people. So if I produce housing for senior citizens,
which Obi Creek is going to be doing.
And those senior citizens walk out of their door and buy products at the stores that are right there, then I'm thinking of property taxes. I'm thinking of income, of sales taxes. I'm thinking about the requirement of the transit that is required along that corridor. Even the mitigations that are along that corridor impact all of Chapel Hill. So, you know, we're talking about a road that is failing as it stands. And it wasn't like there's going to be less development there. It wasn't like there were going to be less cars coming. Yeah. So what we could do and what we did with this developer was come up with a way to sort of lessen the burden a little bit.
And extract some value from the pain that we know is already coming in
right.
the form of traffic.
And the same with Ephesus Fordham, that we are getting some structure there that we needed as a town. And we're getting it at the cost of, as people might say, of higher density, which I also think benefits us.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot about last year and maybe some of the challenges coming next year. But let's talk a little bit more about Donna when we come back after these messages. Welcome back to The Deep End. I'm your host, Mark Kleinschmidt. We're here in the studios at 97.9 WCHL here at University Place, the new WCHL, both on air and in some great new space. And here, sitting across the table from me, is longtime Chapel Hill council member and old friend of mine, Donna Bell. And we've talked a lot, Donna, about the policies of the town, some of your values. You had an opportunity to talk about some of the things that are important to you, some of the kinks that we're working out with the new council. And I want to talk a little bit about just you and how you're doing in this new space. So as we record this, we are about a week and a half away from Christmas Day, which we're in the middle of we're at the high point of the holiday season right this minute. Are you enjoying it?
I hate Christmas.
you got to contextualize that. Now, Donna, I know you didn't grow up with Christmas, is that right?
I did not grow up with Christmas. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, mm-hmm. so we did not celebrate Christmas. We did not celebrate Easter. We did not celebrate birthdays. And I didn't suffer a single bit.
Jehovah's Witnesses also don't vote, but you're glad that other people do now because you're an elected official.
Well, you know, it took me a long time to vote. It's hard to give up beliefs that you've had since you were born.
Right.
There is more than just religion. There is culture. There is the way that it gets down into your blood and bones. And in the way that that got down in my blood and bones, Christmas has never gotten down in my blood and bones.
It's so interesting because it's such a large focus for so many Americans, so many North Carolinians, so many Chapel Hillians this time of year. And how do you deal with it? I mean, you have a young child. So, I mean, you can't not have, well, I don't know. How do you deal with it at home now with a young one?
So in my family, every third year I get off. So every third Christmas, I don't have to celebrate. They can do whatever they want to. But, you know, other years, I try to help with the Christmas card. I try to help with the tree decorating. I try to bring in some of the values that are important to me mm-hmm. as we, you know, as we celebrate this moment, as well as trying to downplay some of the values that aren't so important to me.
You mean like the commercialism and the, you know, kind of this... The focus on that, is that what you're talking
about? I have an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
She has high expectations about the stuff that she's going to get and how much of it she's going to get. and, you know, I have loving family members who are happy to meet her expectations in ways that I wish I could stave off. But I can't. And so while I wish everyone in this holiday season that they have as much joy and time with their families and happiness in the ways that they celebrate, please think of me and my strong desire to be sitting in my house in my pajamas watching some old movies, maybe going for a walk in the middle afternoon, and then going and have dinner at one of my friends who does celebrate Christmas because they'll have a great spread.
Well, then I think you help us all really realize that in a community as diverse as Chapel Hill, something that we take such pride in, right, that even things that seem to dominate our consciousness, like the holiday season tends to do largely because of all the commercialism and you know, and the attention that's drawn to what you're going to get, like little Olivia is focused on, that our diversity means that not everybody is actually engaged in that, and that there are different ways in which we celebrate, different ways in which our values are manifested. But thank you so much for being here with me today, sharing a little bit about your year and what's coming up in the future. I hope you'll come back again soon.
Totally have me again.
Thanks a lot, Donna. You've been listening to The Deep End, and I'm your host, Mark Kleinschmidt. This is 97.9 FM WCHL.